It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You know, our kids have caught the World Cup bug. Maybe yours have as well. We've been talking about what they see on the field, in the stands, as the best players in the world. They play their hearts out in Qatar. Also, they get injured. Conversation is here on World Cup 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Gavin Egan manages the Youth Strikers Program for Toca Madison. Gavin, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello, thank you.
Well, here we are, the U.S. on to the knockout round, taking on Netherlands tomorrow. What should kids be watching for in this game?
Oh, I think they should be looking for a great match between two scrappy, young, talented teams. Netherlands was looked at as the dark horse to win it, but I think the U.S. has a pretty good chance of knocking them out of the tournament.
Okay, so you said scrappy and young, and the U.S. men's national soccer team that says it's by far the youngest team qualifying for World Cup. What are the benefits of having a young team?
They don't know their own limits yet. So they're also like coming into their creative own, I guess, would be another thing I would say about them. Yeah. Also just resilience. I mean, if you look at what happened with Christian Pulisic on the last goal, he took a pretty hard hit and he's bouncing back and hopefully be ready for this next match. But yeah, resilience.
Yeah, you know, in the post-game interviews after defeating Iran, you could see their confidence. You could see a bit of swagger, like they're feeling like the underdog scenario is working well for them. What is your prediction when they have that kind of feeling as they go out, you know, on the field against Netherlands?
Anything can happen in a day. Like, they could be the better squad and still lose. That's how soccer works, unfortunately. But I'd say, like, what I like about them is that they've had that swagger, but they're not cocky. Mm. You know, they still have a little humility to them. And that's actually really good modeling for, like, kids in general. Have confidence, but don't get cocky.
What would you do if you were coaching the U.S.? What would be your advice to Coach Berhalter, you know, as he tries to put together this another winning, tactical approach on the field against Netherlands?
Man, I wish. Wow.
You wish you could be there, right?
Yeah,
wish me in his shoes.
right. I would play a different formation than he's been playing. He really has been forcing a 4-3-3, which four defenders in the back, three in the midfield, and three attacking, which puts a lot of pressure on our defenders to find targets. Which they don't often do for their club teams, but he's pulled it out so far. So, you know, I actually would hold my tongue. Like, I wouldn't tell him what I think about that. Honestly, sometimes it's best to step back, and when your team is playing well, wait to make comments or corrections until like that first halftime. Get them revved up. Get them knowing that reinforce their confidence before the match, and then at half, step up and say what you see with an older set of eyes with a little bit more wisdom.
Well, let's take a call. Yeah, Willem is joining us from Eau Claire. Willem, what would you like to bring up?
Hi, I'm an immigrant to this country and from the Netherlands. And, you know, the Netherlands has been a soccer power for a long, long time, often called the best team to never win the World Cup. But this year, I think the United States has a really good team, the best team I've ever seen the United States bring to the World Cup. And, you know, soccer in the United States has come a long way. When I was a kid and they would play soccer in grade school, it was just everyone would kick at the ball. But, you know, that's not how you play the game. It's gotten so much better. So I'm kind of conflicted. I think the Netherlands, you know, they have a great defense with Virgil de Jong. And so I think it'll be a great game to watch. The Netherlands has been playing kind of subpar. They haven't been playing at their best level. And their star striker, Memphis, has been limited. But I think the United States has got a real chance. They, drew a draw with England, which was ranked fifth in the world. So.
Well, it's fun to hear your analysis, Willem, and you know, kind of feel how conflicted you may be about the game. And you bring up a really great question I want to pose to Gavin. You know, has soccer come a long way in the U.S.? What do you see?
Absolutely. So I started playing the sport when I was 4, and I'm 42 now, getting up there. And it has absolutely changed. We've went from like not really a soccer nation to absolutely a soccer nation. And that's in large part to not just the men's team, but the women's team, of course, which is very strong. And it's really amazing to see, again, this young team go from not making it 4 years ago to making it and flourishing in the group stages. Also, just the level of play around Madison, where I coach, has gone up over the last 10 years. It's nice to see everybody engaged. And also the beautiful thing about the sport is that you only need like a ball to play, right?
I'm going to reintroduce you here for a moment. Gavin Egan, youth soccer manager for the Strikers program at Atoka Madison. You can join in on the U.S. as it approaches its World Cup Netherlands game tomorrow, 800-642-1234. Gavin, you mentioned Pulisic and that goal against Iran. You know, that's like how legends are born, right? That he throws himself at the ball and then in the process gets himself really rocked, really injured with that pelvic contusion. So, what should we be watching for there if Pulisic can play and can get on the field? And what about this type of injury?
I mean, I honestly don't know much about pelvic contusions. I read about it. It sounds like he's got maybe a bruised bone, like that's protecting his pelvic area. I am not a doctor. I just play one on the radio. I'm hoping that if you see him moving well, I guess is what I'm saying, that you'll see him back to like being his own normal self. He's a pretty tough player in general. He's been fun to watch grow as a player too. And then the other thing is I'd look to see other his teammates step up. Like, we've extremely talented squad. Just looking at it in general, I've loved watching Tyler Adams play, Weston McKinney, and Sargent, who actually might be out. Yeah, exactly. I'd really like to see Gio Reyna get some minutes. Tim Way is the son of a legend and also coming into his own right. I'm not going to quite call him a legend yet. And then Sergio Dest like assisted his goal and just screams up and down the side of the field as a back. So it's been really fun to see. And then, I mean, their back line's been fairly solid with just one mistake versus Wales. So that's what I'm looking to see in this next game.
I want to get your advice about injuries and how we talk with our kids about the injuries that they're seeing these players succumb to on the field. Some pretty major and some, you know, minor, but still hurting. And watching one of these players in pain, it's hard for me as a parent sitting next to my 8-year-old. I mean, there are some conversations we need to talk about in the roughness of sports, in the roughness of soccer and putting a body in peril. How should I broach that conversation?
I think as your kiddo brings it up, but also if you see something like, I mean, unfortunately, the Suarez incident where he like bit a player, like, I don't know if it was last couple of World Cup before, I've listened to parents engage around that subject. I've engaged with my players. I mean, you need your opponent to play the game. It's a conversation between you and them, and the ref, you, them, and the official. You co-create the game. So you always need that. Now, at the highest levels, like, no one should be playing that way even though you're going all in, right? Like, no one should be deliberately brutal or dirty. It's supposed to be the beautiful game, right? And so there's a couple different conversations. There's the sportsmanship conversation. And then there's, if you hurt yourself playing, like if you hit your head, we have a whole concussion protocol that we follow as coaches, and we don't want to put anybody at risk when they're little. As you grow older, like you do want to be tough on the ball. You do want to go into a challenge physically, but not with the intent to hurt the other person. And you want to make sure that you're keeping yourself safe while you're playing and going into challenges. And as you get older, like those injuries add up too. So you can
Are you speaking from a little bit of experience there?
Yeah, I've done a lot. I've got a list, like a laundry list.
Let me ask you this. Why should kids get involved in soccer?
Oh, man. Why should they get involved in soccer? I mean, where I work, we want everybody from 1.5 to 75 at Atoka Madison. We want them all playing, right? But getting them involved, it's really like, how do I move my body? How do I learn how to use my body in the appropriate way to get what I want to get done on the field? And then, like, some people, it resonates with them, and they explore the space on the field with the ball and their teammates. And they, I mean, I can't say enough good things about engaging with it. I've been playing it since I was 4, and I've always wanted to be a professional soccer player. Now I'm just a professional coach. and I think it's a gift, like, that you can give yourself. If you start, one of the things I always tell my players, and the World Cup exemplifies this, is that it's like, soccer is a language that is spoke throughout the world. So I've been, like, I was doing master's work in Peru and playing pickup games and playing in El Salvador, like, in the middle of a grass field. Like, there's you can transcend a lot of different conflicts just by playing the sport.
Well, Gavin, where will you take in the game tomorrow against the Netherlands?
Oh, man. So I've got to run classes. So I've got to run classes all weekend, and I will be catching the first half and then be running a class for 8 and 9 year olds, or 2 year olds. I can't quite remember my schedule. But yeah, we'll either be doing like a swim lesson and the parents will be talking about the game. And that's the case, we might have someone streaming it near the field. So tomorrow I'll be at work. And it'll be a good environment. It's going to be really fun to see the youth teams coming in for league play and then, like, engaging in with, like, the TVs that we have on there. And then the parents also cheering it on. It's also been really fun to see, like I have three players that moms from the Netherlands. And I was like, who are you going to root for? And they're like, it's going to be tough. Like, it's caught in between a rock and a hard place.
Oh, Gavin, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Gavin Egan is youth soccer manager for the Strikers program at Atoka Madison. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're with us for The Morning Show, and it is the year-end membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret, and our message to you on this last day of the drive is that your financial support is the foundation for all these great discussions you enjoy here every day. Make your tax-deductible year-end gift now for 2022 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Coming to the end of this hour, looking for 6 more people to join in the next few minutes. We can do it and hit that goal. Your gift right now is so important because when you give, you support the programs you rely on each and every day.
Thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In that last conversation, we learned about, you know, what's going on at the highest levels of soccer right now in the World Cup with a big game this weekend, but also soccer in our daily lives, from the kids playing through high school and college, as my kids did and continue to do. It's something that connects your daily life with things going on all over the world. And that's the kind of conversation you can count on here on The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the wealth of topics that you join us for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
During this member drive, we have a special offering. Ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts. There are options available at $10 or $20 a month. Your donation to WPR will power essential news, quality entertainment, and your thank you gift then will provide hunger relief to people in your community. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You learned a lot from listening to Wisconsin Public Radio this year.
I learned that democracy is at risk, and I learned that I valued democracy.
I learned about a lot of neat places on Wisconsin life. places I've since visited.
One of my favorite segments was the science of purring on Central Time. I always love learning cat facts.
Preserving my garden vegetables from this lady who was so passionate about preserving garden vegetables. She made me fired up.
Here's one more fact before the year ends. The largest source of funding for the news, conversations, and music on WPR is listener support. Your support. Now that you know, make your year-end contribution for WPR. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret. Your support during this year-end member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
This is the last day of the last member drive of 2022. That means it's your last chance to give during the morning show with Kate. Show your support for the work that Kate and her team do each and every weekday here on the Ideas Network. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
WPR is probably a preset in your home or car, maybe your home and your car, right? You listen to WPR a lot. So help pay for the station you enjoy so much. Become a member today.
Make the transition from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. It can start with a gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're making some great headway in this hour. We have just a few moments left to stay on track as we try to meet our hourly goal, WPR listener powered. It's the 11th hour of this member drive. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Grab the thank you gift, the food bank thank you gift, when you give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Provide some hunger relief to people in your community.
Alice in Greenfield says, I love the accurate information I can trust. Susan in Monona says, I download WPR podcasts to drive around with. Your gift right now, so important, WPR.org. And thank you so much for your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio.